All right, we're live.
Welcome back to Talk with Army. I'm your co-host, Delilah.
And I'm your co-host, Daisy.
And we are back with Army Anonymous. I always love doing Army Anonymous. It's so great to hear from what everyone is thinking about, and I feel like the next Army Anonymous is going to be probably a little bit more crazy than the submissions we're reading this week, just because a lot has happened within the past few days, and I'm kind of mad about it because we just released episode 60, and then that whole SM hype thing happened, and it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, I don't even... It was crazy. That's actually crazy timing on our part, first of all. Second of all, like, not even just that, but also, like, by the time the next Army Anonymous submission opens up, then the 3 weeks that it's going to be while people are getting submissions in, like, Jimin did say in a recent live, like, literally yesterday, that his album was probably going to come out in March. And right. So who knows, we might be getting some sort of like teasers or like content beforehand to like build up hype. And I don't know like what's going to happen and what people would have to say about it, but we might get submissions regarding that. And I would also be interested. But yeah, like thank you guys for being patient with us. I know we've been kind of hoarding these particular submissions for quite a few weeks now. But, like, our schedules were kind of just, like, not lining up at all during the Christmas / New Year's holiday. And then I was out of the country for, like, 2 weeks. And then, like, just to kind of post them and, like, queue everything up and then figure out when to reopen the form. Like, it was a lot of different things. And we were kind of, like, doing things a little bit out of order already. So I was like, let me just reset this whole thing. And then we keep these submissions until we post episode 60. And then we can go back to our regular schedule again. So... we're sorry, like, we've been hoarding these for a while. I don't actually remember when we got these submissions. It was most likely before New Year's, like, around Christmas time or something like that. So we've had these for a while, but we're finally getting to them, so thank you for waiting. So, as usual, we always like to start with our general section with these submissions, so I'm just going to go ahead and read the first one. This first one says... there are times when I feel scared to voice an opinion about any type of news about the boys. I'm scared that I'll be doxxed or blocked, but no one will tell me. I've had friends block me, but I don't know why. How do I let people know that I'm still learning about the boys and tell me if I say something incorrectly? And this is from the USA. First of all, I feel so sorry for this person, like, because yeah. there's nothing I hate more than, like, being blocked and not being told why or what I've done. Like, I think that people really need to do a better job in letting people know, hey, you said something incorrect, or maybe you said something ignorant, and maybe this is the way that you should, you know, this is how you should feel about the situation, or this is what, like, you said wrong. But then instead of doing that, people just, like, block and then talk about keeping their peace. But then the person that you've blocked, they don't have any peace. They don't know what they've done wrong. And so they kind of just feel like they're by themselves because they feel like they're doing stuff wrong, but nobody's telling them what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, if they're blocking you for trying to ask questions or, you know, get clarification on something, then those people were not good friends to have around. I like the group chat that Daisy and I have because we're constantly just going back and forth about stuff. And sometimes we don't always agree on, like, everything, but we understand, like, each other's perspectives about different topics and stuff. And no one gets blocked or kicked out. And I think it's important to have that feedback and be able to discuss things at length with other people to try and get a broader perspective on the things that are happening. And so the fact that, you know, this person says, they even say, like, I'm still learning about the boys, suggests that they're probably a new army looking for guidance and no one has given them the time to, you know, actually learn.
Yeah, because I think, and this is me speaking in general, obviously I know that not everybody fits, like, these molds or whatever, that, like, certain groups of people aren't a monolith, I know, but, like, generally speaking, before, I would say, like, the pandemic, and arguably before even, like, 2019, 2018, I think that people, you know, were a little bit more open to guiding newer armies, I feel. I don't know, that's just kind of the impression I get off. I feel like these days, especially with, like, some of the armies that have come in since then, some people just aren't ready to actually do the leading for newer armies. And so then they kind of just see somebody who doesn't know that much about BTS and kind of, like, either block them or maybe clown on them and kind of make them feel like garbage because they don't know that much, understandably, because they just got here. And those types of people who are, you know, the target of everybody's ire, like, that, like, the pipeline from becoming that to, like, becoming a full-blown, like, not even just, like, non-army or ex-army, but just, like, a full-blown anti, because sometimes, like, that resentment ends up being, like, misdirected in other places. And so that's why I'm, like, whenever I see somebody who's new at BTS, I always make sure that, like, I do the best that I can to give them resources or to teach them stuff. Because then you just don't know, like, what this person could possibly be like if you start shunning them. And also not even just because that, but just because it's just basic human decency. If somebody doesn't know about something, tell them about that thing so they now know more about that thing. Why are you then just talking about, oh, you're stupid, or, oh, I don't even want to bother with you, and then you kind of just, like, isolate them? Like, that's just a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not exactly sure how to approach people when you want to learn about the boys, because there's no way to know if you are saying something correctly if you have, like, no baseline to, like, compare it to. Like, you are going in as a blank slate. You are just ignorant on certain topics, and how are you going to ask about something that you don't even know what you should be asking for? And so I think just maybe approach people with the fact that, preface that, I'm maybe new to the fandom, or I'm still learning about BTS. Can you explain so-and-so? Or can you clarify the issue? I don't understand what's happening. Try to, you know, frame yourself as completely, like, honestly, try to frame yourself as someone that's almost like a third party. Like, you're not even in the fandom, like, you're a complete outsider, because I feel like a lot of armies, really like to, you know, engage with people that are interested in BTS but don't know about them, because they want others to love BTS as much as them, right? So I think if you present yourself as someone that is just new and trying to learn, and, you know, place yourself as, you know, someone that is in need of being taught, I feel like maybe people will more likely be open to, I don't know, like, hurt, like, trying to hurting you in, like, the right direction, I guess. It can be complicated, I think, trying to navigate the internet and navigating other people in the internet. And especially, you know, with a fandom as big as ARMY, there's just so many different types of people. You never know, you know, who you're going to be interacting with. So I'm sorry that, you know, you've had people blocking you, probably when you were just asking questions and stuff. But, you know, patience, they say, is a virtue. And so if you're not going to have people that are willing to be patient with you, then those friendships weren't worth it.
Oh, and another thing to add, because, you know, we're recommending for this person to preface that they're a new army and that they don't know much about BTS, Well, obviously that will attract armies who are willing to guide you. Also be wary of other people, for example, solos or mantis. They will also see that you're new and try to impose their narratives upon you, and that's also bad. And I don't know how much of our podcast this person has listened to, but if you go through our episodes talking about things like solos and mantis and like shippers and stuff like that, like you'll see, you know, our thoughts about that and how to avoid kind of either becoming one or enabling one. So just definitely be wary of people who are trying to take advantage of you and trying to turn you away from either the fandom or BTS or both. But yeah. Good luck with that, and hopefully you find some better friends than whatever ones you had before. So I guess we can move on to the next submission.
Yeah, this next submission says, "Hello, first of all, I want to say I love y'all and y'all's podcast so much. I've been a listener since episode 1 and have enjoyed and learned so much from you guys. I know y'all aren't really active on TikTok, but there have been a bunch of videos from people invading the boys' privacy, like filming JK and Cutter or filming Jin during his enlistment ceremony, popping up. Anytime I report these videos, I get a notification a few days later saying they didn't find anything wrong with them and they didn't violate any guidelines. Beyond emailing Hive, do y'all know exactly how we need to be reporting this kind of content? Not just on TikTok, but on all the other social media platforms as well?" And this is from the USA. Well, first of all, thank you for being such a, you know, dedicated listener to our podcast, because we've come a long way since episode 1. I mean, that was so long ago.
I don't even listen to our first episode.
I don't think I could listen to our first episode without cringing, probably. I'm going to be honest. And plus, we honestly have to revamp our first episode, because episode 1 is the truth about solo stands, and there is so much in the episode that is definitely worth listening to, and I would still 100% agree with the things we said in that episode. However, some of the methods for combating solo stands we feel are outdated in the episode, so we've been meaning to kind of revisit that and go over that again, just because, you know, the fandom climate has changed and our suggestions, we realize, might have actually backfired. So, yeah, that's, you know, a little tangent. But in regard to filming, you know, the boys and spreading information that doesn't need to be spread, honestly, this is not just an army or, like, Manti problem. This is a global phenomenon with social media. Filming people without any respect for privacy, not even just celebrities, but just like someone at the grocery store, someone at the gym, someone at the park. People are so comfortable filming strangers and posting it online. It's absolutely insane. And then when it comes to celebrities, there's this added layer of, oh, well, you know, they're famous. It's expected that people are going to film and photograph them. And so we have this culture just ingrained in everywhere that, you know, stalking celebrities is the norm. And so when you, there's really not much you can do, I think, when we report these types of videos, because it's just so normal. When you report videos, when I say people, I mean like algorithms or maybe the small team that does actually manually check reports, they're going to be looking for things that are not so morally gray. So things that are explicit, you know, targeted violence and harassment, or specific language and keywords, content that is, you know, either just NSFW content, so like maybe it's pornographic or maybe it's gory, you know, that kind of content. They're looking for, you know, very specific types of content that falls within their guidelines. And so when we report, you know, videos of, you know, people just recording some celebrity, it's not going to be taken seriously, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest problems with just social media culture and also celebrity culture, the fact that it's so normalized to just go out and just film random people on the street. It doesn't matter if they haven't consented. It doesn't matter if you're invading their privacy. And that's what's led to just a bunch of people seeing that, like, you know, it could be somebody who's literally just minding their business, going about their day. Like, someone could be on their way to go get some groceries or something, and then they come on social media and here's some random Twitter account that has 200,000 likes on their post with a video of them, and they're getting made fun of and they didn't even know. And so I think that, you know, because of that, we've just been really desensitized to just like people's privacy in general. And I think that, you know, with the way that people are just always looking to comment on others and also just to get clout, like, people just need to take a step back from that and realize, like, would you even like to be in the same situation as the person that you just filmed? Like, would you like to be filmed without your consent and then post it online for thousands of people to see and comment on you, maybe your personality or your actions, your behavior, like, everything about you is just, like, critically analyzed under a microscope. And that doesn't feel good because, you know, especially on social media and on places like Twitter with there, where there's, like, a lot more anonymity, like, people say whatever, and they think that they can just get away with saying it. And to be honest, most of the time they do. And it can be really frustrating, especially if you are the victim of one of these videos. And celebrities, like Dolores said, they have it way worse. And a lot of people think that as a celebrity, being stalked and being filmed without their consent, and without any respect to their privacy is just something that they have to deal with. That's just part of the culture. It's something that they have to just have to suck it up, basically. And so that means that if a celebrity retaliates, then the celebrity is the one at fault for people, because it's like, oh, why are you so upset? This is just what you have to deal with as a celebrity. But it's like, why do they have to deal with it as a celebrity? Why should I have to walk around in public and tolerate people sticking their phone in my face every second of the day, or having paparazzi follow where I am and tell other people where I am, or asking me questions that I don't want to answer? That shouldn't be my life, and that shouldn't be the life for any celebrity. And so that's why, like, there was so much controversy around, I believe it was Bad Bunny, when, like, somebody was filming him. And so he took their phone and then threw it in the water. And then people were like, oh, he shouldn't have done that. That was going too far, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but these people are literally stalking him. Is that not going too far? The phone is where you people draw the line?
Exactly. Like, I don't understand the audacity of people to, first of all, you have the lucky privilege. I don't know if privilege is the right word, so I'll say chance. You have the lucky chance of being so close up to a celebrity, and that's how you act? Are you not embarrassed? Like, I would be so depressed if I behaved in a way that made a celebrity just look at me with disgust. Like, I just don't understand how you can be a so-called fan of someone and have no respect for their personal space and boundaries. Like, you would think that the main people that should understand, you know, the value of a celebrity and, you know, them as people, you should be wanting to make sure that they feel safe and protected as a fan. But no, that's not what happens. Time and time again, people, even though there's clear evidence that the celebrity is not happy, people will record that moment and then post it on social media and caption it with something like, oh, look, he was so happy to see me, heart. And everyone in the quotes is like, you're delusional.
Right. It's like, they're just absolutely delusional and deranged. Because, like, for them, like, they don't even care if their favorite artist is looking at them with disgust. It's just the fact that they've noticed the person that is enough for them. The fact that they've been noticed by their favorite celebrity, like, they don't even care what kind of attention they get. They just want the attention. And those are usually the most dangerous types of people, because those types of people, they have absolutely nothing to lose. Because it's not even like, oh, what if your idol hates you? They don't care.
Right.
As long as the idol's paid attention to them, that's all that matters. So even if their idol hates them, they'll still do it. And that just goes to show you that there are people who will literally go to, like, any length just to follow their favorite idol or just stalk them and do all sorts of crazy things that just completely invade their privacy. Like, I remember there's that one video that was circulating social media of somebody who had filmed Jimin, and I believe it was Bumgyu in a restaurant, Bumgyu from TXT. And, like, people were saying, oh my gosh, like, he was so happy. Meanwhile, Jimin looked at the cameras and then covered Bumgyu's face as they were walking out of the restaurant. So it's like he clearly didn't want them to be bothered. And also, he went out of his way to protect his, first of all, I find that so heartwarming. The fact that he went out of his way to protect Bumgyu first. Like, he wasn't trying to have Bumgyu deal with any of that. But, like, the fact that people were even, like, bugging like that. Like, just leave them alone. Because you clearly see that BTS appreciate when they're left alone. Because they tell us that.
Exactly.
So it's like, what more confirmation do you need? Like, I just don't understand.
It's truly an interesting phenomenon of human nature. And I would absolutely do a dissertation on it if I had the motivation to go back and do a PhD, because this is just so interesting. The cognitive dissonance that is present in fan culture is just so fascinating to me. And I, you know what, after this, I'm probably gonna try and do my own little digging and see if there's already a bunch of, you know, research papers in regard to phenomenon related to this, because I need to know more. Like, it's so hard to wrap my head around.
Oh my god, I almost thought you were about to say, you know what, after this, I'm about to go and look for universities and start applying for PhD programs.
Are you paying for my PhD program? I don't think so.
Girl, I can barely even pay for myself. Don't
exactly,
even ask me.
Exactly. But, yeah. And so, unfortunately, we kind of weren't able to answer this question if there's a specific way to go about reporting this content. There's really not, because the people you're reporting the content to don't care.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's down to the platforms that they're on to decide whether it's harmful content or not. And for a lot of different platforms, things like people filming like JK in Qatar or Jin during his enlistment ceremony, they don't consider that like a problem. They don't consider that harmful. And so they really just won't do anything about it. You can always try still emailing it to the email that Big Hit give us when it comes to sending them evidence for malicious postings about them online. But aside from that, there really isn't much we can do. And it's really frustrating. I think that's the most frustrating part, that a lot of the times, whether or not these videos stay online or not, is just down to whatever these social media platforms think. And most of the time, they just do not care.
Exactly. And so with that, we'll move on to the next submission. This one says, I'm listening to your podcast and you're talking about enlistment. I think it would be good to add the history of why Korean men have to enlist. It's more than North Korea and other countries being near them. The real reason it's required is when the Korean War started, South Korea had no real military and had to send a bunch of young men boys to war without training, and they were massacred. Basically, they lost a whole generation of males, so they implemented mandatory enlistment in hopes of never having to go through that again. From the USA. And
Jesus
that,
Christ.
That makes a lot of sense. The, you know, the history of the Korean War is absolutely fascinating in the most depressing way. It was just, you know, Korea was just knocked down, you know, over and over. And they're currently still dealing with so many political ramifications of it, both from Japan and China. So it's really is sad, just the whole history of Korean men and Korean women.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, just this whole context of, like, sending, you know, untrained men, and then, you know, all of them were massacred, and so, like, they have to just, like, they have to take this precaution. That is just so sad to me, just, like, thinking about, like, what must have happened to these poor men who were basically, you know, they had no choice but to go fight for their country, and they didn't know how to fight, and this is what happened to them. And so, yeah, like, definitely, it makes sense. And whoever sent this, thank you. If any of you guys are interested in, like, history on the Korean War, there's plenty of documentaries on things like YouTube and other platforms that you can watch it on. Like, definitely, like, the actual history of it is just super, super, I mean, it's super bleak, but also interesting in that regard. I mean, there's plenty of different, you know, parts of it that I really just am like, wow, like, the fact that this happened is crazy. But yeah. So the next submission says, hi, hope you both have been well during this holiday season. Something I've noticed this year during the Tannies' birthday season is that they have been posting less and less about each other on social media, which I can understand as they're getting older. However, I've seen lots of people on Twitter questioning their relationship with one another and saying that they're not as close as they once were. I find it to be a bit ridiculous, but I just wanted your take on how the relationship between them and how they show their affection has changed over the years. With enlistment starting and us being 2 years away from 2025, I feel ARMYs are just feeling anxious about their future as a group and need that reassurance that BTS want the group to be together well into the future. Sorry for the long post, and thank you, and this is from the USA. Yeah, I think especially that last point that this person mentioned, like, they hit the nail right on the head. I think that right now, because so many ARMYs are anxious about the future, they just need that reassurance that, like, BTS still like each other. And so that's why a lot of people tend to put a lot of value into things like birthday posts, when in reality, BTS don't actually need the birthday post to show that they're close with each other. In fact, I even remember there was this one point where, I don't remember whose birthday it was, but Jin had posted happy birthday to somebody. It might have been Jimin or somebody. I just remember that it was kind of recent. So, like, kind of in the latter half of 2022. And then he had said something along the lines of, you know, people think that if I don't post that we're not close, but, you know, we're still very well close, even if I don't post, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing because I'm trying to look for the screenshot that I had of it, but I have too many screenshots, so I actually can't find it specifically. But he basically said something along the lines of, even if I don't post, like, we're still close. And so I think that people need to keep that in mind, you know, when talking about birthdays and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think that people put too much of an emphasis on social media, where they think that if it's not posted about, that means that it's not happening or it's not true. So, for example, like, if BTS don't post birthday messages to each other on social media, that just means that they forgot each other's birthday, or that they don't care about the other person's birthday, or they don't even like the person, when they could easily just go and wish them happy birthday in person, or they could call them on the phone, they could video call. There's so many alternatives that they have, where it's like, you guys realize that, like, they can actually go to each other's houses, right? Because they've done that before. Right. Remember last year with Jungkook's birthday, Jin just showed up in his house, already drunk, first of all, delivering him a box of grapes from his uncle's farm or whatever. And, you know, the fact that he's able to do that, but he doesn't need to post for him to be able to do that. Like, I think people need to remember that these guys actually like each other offline.
Yes, that's... And, you know, this is a thing that's not just with, you know, BTS. This is, once again, another global phenomenon of social media. If you're not posting about it online, it doesn't exist. Our lives are, you know, our lives are basically what's digital. And if you're not, you know, posting about a certain maybe topic that's going on, it means that you don't care or you're not paying attention. If you are in a group of friends and you don't, you know, post on your Instagram story about, you know, their birthday or something, then, oh, I guess you're actually not as close friends as, you know, you would think. And we see this a lot with just so many different celebrities, and how if, you know, every single facet of their life and everything they do isn't mentioned, then it's like it genuinely doesn't exist, like, in real life either. That our digital lives have to be a reflection of who we are in person. And it's just, it's absolutely crazy. You know, BTS, they, you know, wish each other happy birthday all the time on social media because, you know, it's a fun thing for them as well as ARMYs. You know, everyone's together, you know, wishing the members happy birthday. And so they're going to partake in it. But because they've moved away from social media a lot, kind of almost as a whole, especially Twitter in particular, which honestly, you know, rip BTS on Twitter. but because they've, you know, moved away from that as a whole, and, you know, I feel like for them, Instagram is a bit more of like, they're using it more like as an aesthetic sort of, like they're, like an aesthetic, not platform, but, you know, they're using Instagram the way that Instagram kind of should be used as, in my opinion, you know, posting small updates and pretty pictures. And not having to broadcast your entire life story through your Instagram stories and everything that's going on. Like, I post on my Instagram story every once in a while, but I actually checked Instagram, and even though, and, you know, Daisy can vouch for this because she just messaged me. She sent me something on Instagram about, like, a video game that's coming out, and I replied to it. And so I use Instagram. I talked to her on Instagram. But my last post was August 2021. That was my last actual post on Instagram. And so, you know, people can be active in other areas of their life. And just because it's not on social media doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so I do want people to really, maybe they need to take a step off of social media for themselves and realize that your presence on the internet really isn't that big of a deal. Like, if you take a break from the internet and just live for a week, I think you genuinely feel happier. And then another thing, the second part of this about, you know, reassuring ARMYs about their relationship. I mean, I know we're reading this after the fact, but, I mean, Jungkook just, you know, he's been doing lives all of a sudden. And you could see in the comments the other BTS members just cooing, no pun intended, over him. And then Taehyung was like, hey, let's hop on Instagram and do, like, a joint live. And then it was just chaos. And then, of course, today, Jungkook did another live. And Jimin commented on that as well. And so they're, as soon as, they're, basically, BTS are just like us. As soon as a member that, you know, Weverse live notification pops up, they're clicking on it. They're like, what's my bestie up to? And so I think that these, you know, recent posts that's been going on, I hope that can be reassuring for people. But to be honest, for people that don't actually care about BTS's friendship, the people that are usually going to be like solo stans, they honestly don't care about the evidence that BTS do still love and care for each other, because to them, they'll be able to just spin it in any twisted way they want. Like, solo stands trying to say that, Taehyung is interrupting JK's live, and is trying to steal the spotlight. Stupid rhetoric like that, that goes around in solo stand territory. And we as armies are like, that's ridiculous. They're best friends. If they didn't want to do a joint live together, they wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
So I just think, I understand why people are feeling rest assured, but to be honest, BTS have just grown a lot as people, and I was mentioning this today in our Twitter group chat, but Jungkook started in the music industry at such a young age, and so I feel like right now he's experiencing the most, like, peace and freedom he's felt in probably a really long time. And I don't know, all of BTS personally to me, they just look so happy. I mean, I think about Namjoon during Indigo promotions, like he was genuinely glowing. I feel like BTS are the happiest they've ever been right now, and I think that their bond is just as strong, if not stronger, because they're not working together as a group, but even when they're not working together as a group, they still choose to be there, and they still choose to communicate and interact with each other. And so that should be really the main signal that they absolutely adore each other and stay together for a while, because if they're not promoting as a group, you know, for other, you know, music acts, you know, if it's not a promotional period, they might not hang out if it's just like a business type of relationship, because if we're not making music, why would we hang out kind of thing? But for BTS, that is just not the case. And so I really hope that people can also understand that not only are BTS experiencing a different kind of freedom and peace, you know, their personalities have, you know, just changed so much throughout the years as they've matured and have just been exposed to so many different aspects of the world. And this is, you know, as new as it is for us to be witnessing this and how, you know, it might be anxious for us, this is also something completely new for them as well. So I really think that if armies approach it with the fact that, you know, this is new for everyone, then it'll feel actually less anxious, because BTS and ARMY, we're going through the same thing, even if we don't know it.
Exactly. And luckily, I just found the screenshot that I was looking for. And so this screenshot was a translation from Jin's Weverse post from, and I was right, it was Jimin's birthday. So this is from October 13th last year. And he had posted these comments. He said, "I already congratulated him separately before, but if I didn't officially post anything, people might say we're on bad terms, so I urgently posted. We're on good terms, really good terms." And then he then adds in another comment, "Even if somebody doesn't post, we're still on good terms." So he clearly is like on the same wavelength, where it's like, just because somebody doesn't post, that doesn't mean that these people suddenly aren't friends or suddenly don't get along. Because there are plenty of ways, like we said, for BTS to congratulate each other that don't revolve around social media. Because even when they were posting frequently back in the day, like birthday messages to each other on Twitter and stuff, it's like these men were like literally posting about a person that like lived in the next room to them. Like they literally lived with each other up until like 2021, 2022. So it's like even back then, they didn't even have to post, you know, birthday messages, because they lived with each other. Like they could just walk across the hall and say happy birthday to that same person. But you know, now these days they feel like they're not obligated to do so. And that's fine. Just because you're not, you know, actively posting about somebody, that doesn't mean that you're not talking to them or that you're not on good terms. I mean, even the example that Delilah gave with her Instagram, in fact, she's better than me, because the last time I made a post on Instagram was my birthday last year. And that was the end of March. And I'm still messaging people all the time in DMs, but and that doesn't mean that I don't use my Instagram. If anything, I use my stories more these days, but like that's every once in a while.
Even my stories, I really just post. I'm one of those people. I post what song I'm listening to on Spotify. I'm one of those people. So
I just post whatever I just sketched on in my sketchbook. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all I post in my stories right now. So like, that's all people know. And I'm only posting out of obligation, because if I don't post it on my stories, then I can't add it to highlights. And I wanted highlights on my page. So like, if I didn't have to post Instagram stories of whatever I was sketching in my sketchbook, I wouldn't. And so the fact that people kind of treat, like you said, like people think that you have to have like social media reflect every aspect of your life, and you just don't. And I think people just really need to step away from this performative mindset that if you don't post about something, that means you don't care about it. Because again, solos like to use that rhetoric very often. A lot of times they will measure a relationship that BTS has with like the other members by how much they post about them. It's like, oh, this person didn't post a screenshot of them listening to this member's new song in their Instagram story. That means that he doesn't care about that one member. Therefore, BTS is not OT7. Therefore, I have a reason to hate the rest of the members. And then like, it's just like these crazy tangents that they go on. And they also do this for armies, where, for example, they'll search up specific keywords on your account, and if you haven't used those exact keywords about specific posts that they wanted you to post about, that means that you're an anti of that member, when in reality there are plenty of ways in which you can post about a member or a song without actually using the exact words. For example, like somebody could tweet out, I love listening to The Astronaut, and that could come up when you're searching keywords with The Astronaut. But if I took a screenshot of me listening to The Astronaut and I just simply tweeted, I love this song, The Astronaut is not going to pick up like that. Those keywords are not going to be in my tweet. So it's not going to get picked up if somebody searches with the keywords The Astronaut. So this is why I don't like it when people use that as a metric for how much you actually care or support one thing, because there are plenty of ways to post about something and be more indirect about it, but still be talking about the exact same thing. And so this is why, like, social media for me, like, so much of it is just so performative, and I hate what people are trying to turn it into and like trying to use this as an excuse to question BTS's relationship, when like they have been, in fact, they even said like themselves, like now they're closer than they've ever been before. So I feel like people should just start, I don't know, listening to BTS when they actually tell us things, maybe.
Maybe. And someone will hear you say maybe and think it's a suggestion, but it's not.
This is a demand.
It's a demand. So, yeah, we really don't need to feel worried for BTS in the relationship. I think because Daisy and I have been able to grow with them, we maybe have a solid understanding of, you know, the place they're in now than compared to someone who maybe just joined the fandom within the past 1 to 2 years and don't have a full grasp of where they started and, you know, where they are now. All in all, I think everything is going to be okay.
Exactly. And so with that, the next submission, it says Lim Yongbong is actually on the list to become a Boro mascot. His fandom and ours are almost siblings, and this is from the USA. Yeah, like we've said in previous Army Anonymous submissions, like their fandom, I actually do respect their fandom a lot, because they do try when it comes to voting categories that they're up against armies for. Like those Ajumas and Ajushis, man, they put in the work, man. I'll tell you that for free.
They really do. And that also kind of goes to show that the whole, oh, you know, people in fandom are just all 14-year-old girls. Not that there's anything wrong with 14-year-old girls, but it's just so objectively untrue, and this just proves it.
Right. These are people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s banding together and, like, voting for their favorite celebrity to win an award. And, like, I think that people just need to realize that, like, you can support your favorite artist at any age you want. There's nothing wrong with it. It shouldn't be something you shame people for. And that's why I respect them. Also, because they're just such good sports. I feel like with other K-pop fandoms, I don't know, it's just so much more volatile. But I feel like what we have with Lim Young-woon's fandom is just a lot more of, like, friendly rivalry. Like, we don't actually hate their fandom, and we don't hate the artist either. In fact, when he's performing at award shows that BTS are also performing at, ARMYs will also cheer for him. I've noticed that. And so it's, like, you can clearly see that, like, we all have mutual respect for each other because, I mean, the only way that they're able to put up such a big fight against us is because they were able to learn our tactics with voting, and they apply that to their own fandom. And I think they're pretty much, like, one of the only fandoms within the K-music industry that have actually done that. Because a lot of other fandoms, they'll be talking about, it's unfair that, like, BTS gets to win all these awards. And then ARMYs literally give them the blueprint for how we get BTS all these awards. And then they're like, you know what? I'm not reading that.
Yep. It's very funny. I just found out, apparently, that, like, NCT doesn't have, like, dedicated, like, translation accounts or, like, dedicated chart accounts, and it blew my mind.
No!
It blew my mind. It was honestly kind of funny watching people talk about it, but also, like, kind of sad, because what do you mean you don't have translation accounts? Because if they do, but they're, like... It's like fans will just translate only the things their favorite members say. Like, there's no, like, overall NCT translator account that's translating NCT content. It's just people translating whatever they want to translate by their favorite members. And it's kind of crazy. Mm.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane to me, because, like, we were just talking about it last night, because that's when we found out, and Delilah had sent it to our group chat, and then I was reading through it, and I'm like, these people really don't have, like, proper translation accounts for, like, the whole group. I mean, given there's, like, 21, 22 different members, and I don't even know if, like, iOS or Android even has that many animal emojis, so I don't know what they're gonna do about that, but in terms of everything...
It's not like... All 20 are active at the exact same time.
That's also true. I don't know how many, like, group lives they do together. Most of the time, they're usually just, like, within their subunits. And so, like, it just kind of baffles me that, like, there just aren't translation accounts that, like, do this kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, I remember seeing, like, one person say that it's because, like, a lot of them are, like, solo accounts. So there'll be, like, solo stans who, like, maybe do some charity and, like, donate some of their translation skills to the other members on occasion. So it's never really guaranteed that they're actually going to get everything that their favorite members are saying. And that is honestly absolutely insane to me. And also the fact that they have no chart accounts, because if anything, NCT... specifically NCT 127 is, like, one of the groups that have, like, that, like, their company has been trying to push the most into the US. Like, they were literally, like, in the US directly after BTS was at the AMAs. Like, the year after that, they attended the AMAs as well. And, like, SM was really trying to kind of get them in the same conversations as BTS. Like, that's been a thing for, like, years, literally 6 years now. So the fact that, like, there's nobody in their fandom that has wised up and said, you know what, I think that we should have a focused effort on the US charts and that we should have a chart account for this. The fact that nobody had that train of thought, because, like, when BTS was getting popular in the US, like, ARMYs were instantly on it. We're like, right, let's study the charts and figure out what we need to do to be able to get BTS on these charts and stay on these charts. And that's how we ended up developing all of these different chart accounts for different countries and so on and so forth. But, like, the fact that, you know, a fandom like NCTzens, they just don't have that. It just makes me wonder, like, what other fandoms are also lacking these important things?
And the thing is, I can understand, you know, maybe more smaller groups and stuff, or newer groups. No, not with newer groups, because usually newer groups, people are more on top of it. But for, like, maybe just, like, smaller groups that don't have a big fan to begin with, and therefore translations can be hard to find. But, like, NCT has a big fandom.
They have no excuse.
Which is why it's such a shock. I saw so many tweets saying that NCity is actually not a city. There's actually no infrastructure at all in place. NCT is just a crime alley. And I was like, oh my god. they have it bad. So, yeah. Shout out to our BTS translators and BTS chart accounts. And also, this information was brought to my attention because it was, like, MOA's, so it was TXT's fandom, like, asking NCT fans, like, why are you using, like, our chart templates? Can't you, like, use your own chart accounts? And NCT fans were like, what chart accounts?
Wow.
So, yeah, that's, so, shout out to BTS and TXT chart accounts for being the blueprint.
Honestly, like, that actually just, like, that's crazy. Also, the fact that that person said NCT has no infrastructure, like, I'm just imagining just, like, them buying the plot of land and doing nothing with it. So it's just, like, this one big unfinished real estate project. Like, I just feel like that, yeah, like you said, like, their fandom is so big. So, like, it's just not clicking as to why they wouldn't, you know, think that they need things like translation and chart accounts. I don't know.
The thing, but like, yeah, the thing about, I feel like the, oh, they have a lot of members thing, just that's a poor excuse, because I swear, yeah. Have you seen Luna fans? Orbits are very dedicated, and I'm pretty sure Orbit translation accounts translate everything for all the members.
Probably 17 too.
Probably 17 as well. Yeah. So honestly, RIP,
RIP NCT.
RIP NCT. Specifically, their fans, because wow, they're fighting for their life just to get an award update. But yeah, with that, funny enough, the next submission, this one just says charts from the USA. No other context, just charts. And so I'm not exactly sure which charts they are referring to, but
probably the US.
Probably the US, but also there's been so much discourse about, you know, BTSL releases charting on things like Melon and those kinds of charts. So, like, I don't know. I would just, you know, keep supporting your chart accounts. Shout out to BTS Chart Data, of course. And, you know, especially local charts for whatever country you're from, those are also important. But yeah, I feel like the armies are so big, like, there isn't a single country so far I've seen that, like, hasn't been able to find a chart account for them.
Yeah, where there are armies, there are people who will make a dedicated effort to study those charts. And so even if, like, the amount of armies, like, the number of armies in a particular country are small, they're still, like, doing their absolute best to support BTS the way they can to try and get them on their own local charts. And honestly, like, I just find that really, really cool. So, yeah, like Delilah said, I've yet to see, like, an army that hasn't found, like, a chart account for their own country. So yeah, shout out to all the chart accounts that have been putting in the time and effort to post updates and to study the charts of their own countries and to figure out ways to have concentrated efforts on those charts to get BTS on them. Because this stuff is not easy. It's very time consuming. And like even BTS Chart Data, sometimes he gets help from other people to run streaming parties and that kind of stuff. Like, it's serious business. And so, yeah, a quick appreciation to all of them. Quick appreciation to all of the translators who put in work. Like, you guys, like, your efforts have not gone unnoticed. We appreciate y'all. And so with that, we move to the next submission, which says, hi, Purple Bloods, with a purple heart. So before Tang's birthday, we had this discussion about if his cake will be a tiger or a bear, because all the members had their birthday cakes to their distinctive animals that represent them. With Taehyung's, it's different because we didn't know, in brackets, they say, I'm Team Bear, by the way. Some armies were saying that maybe the cake wouldn't be a bear or a tiger or something completely different, like a yomtan cake or a three-piece suit looking cake. At the end of the day, what we got? Nothing. No live. I hope he did enjoy his birthday a lot without feeling the pressure of doing a live, but we still are in the mystery of what his actual animal is. And this is from the UK. First of all, the fact that you said that his cake could be a three-piece suit is absolutely sending me.
Sick. Why'd you drag him? Didn't have to do that. But first of all, I do want to say, okay, Daisy and I have been here for a while, so we are sentimental to Tiger, but BTS run uniforms, he's a bear, guys. There, it's been settled. So, unfortunately, to all the Tiger stands out there, you have lost my deepest condolences.
Yeah, and on top of that, Tay, I feel like he's the one who's gone through the most changes with his emoji, because I swear, like, everybody's talking about, like, Team Bear and Team Tiger now, but I swear before this wasn't, like, the general consensus that he was a lion.
Was he a lion? That, that does sound maybe vaguely familiar, but I can't remember a time that I've seen translators use the lion emoji. Like, I'm trying to think about it all the way back to, like, 2015, and I don't think so.
Because I'm saying this because I if you guys don't know, there's this one YouTube channel called Shugarmy, where they do, like, a lot of different compilation videos and stuff like that, of, like, I don't know, BTS funny moments, or, like, Namjoon showing that he's a leader of BTS, blah, blah, blah. Like, cute stuff like that. I really like their videos. And in their older videos, I remember when Tae was speaking, they would use a lion emoji. And I was like, there was a, and I just kept on thinking, I'm like, was there a point where he was ever a lion? Like, I'm gonna have to go back and check, but, like, him, like, he was not originally a bear. Obviously, he was Tiger before, and possibly a lion before that. And then you had Hobie. He used to be, like, they didn't have, like, a proper horse emoji at the time. I think he used the unicorn emoji. And then after it obviously changed to squirrel. And then I remember there's this one older post back then that BTS, where they gave, like, their emojis and stuff. And it was either Yoongi or Jin. I'm pretty sure it was Yoongi, but, like, he gave himself the mouse emoji. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And it's so funny because, like, now, like, he's a cat. So it's, like, the literal opposite of what he was before. So, like, there have definitely been some changes to their emojis. It's not, like, a static thing. I think as their personalities grow and change, right, they're just going to associate themselves with different animals. Although, obviously, some members have been very, very consistent, like Jimin and Jungkook. They've never not been known as, actually, no, that's a lie. I think Jungkook might have been a deer at one point, but Jimin has always been a baby chick.
That is so true.
Yeah, so there are members who have been, like, very consistent with, like, what they identified as, and I think people only started, like, debating what Tae's cake might be because for Namjoon's birthday, his birthday cake was actually, like, a dog, like a golden retriever. Mm. And to be honest, like, that's not something that hasn't been associated with him before, because people always equate him to a golden retriever, because the thing with, like, golden retrievers, it's like they're these big, fluffy, cute dogs that are, like, kind of clumsy and also don't realize that they're big dogs. And Namjoon radiates the exact same energy, so I understand, I truly do. But people use the koala simply because, you know, there's Koya with BT21, and so obviously, like, he's going to represent, you know, koalas as well. So that's why people use it. But I can understand why people would choose either or, because he does very much give off, like, big puppy energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the evolution of emoji representation in K-pop groups needs to be studied. It's honestly, it's fun. But yeah, I think the debate between Tiger and Bear for Tae has been settled. He feels that he's a bear currently, and so we have to respect his wishes, right? But it is also funny, to point out that we were waiting for a birthday live and got absolutely nothing.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. Everybody was like, just you wait and see. Once he goes live and we see that cake, I'm gonna be proven right that he was Team Bear or Team Tiger. And, like, We just literally got nothing, and that's so funny to me. But what's even more funny is the fact that when BTS first got their Instagrams, Tae actually did a poll on his Instagram stories where he was like, tiger or bear? And guess what won? Bear did. So, I mean, there you have it. What else do we need to say?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so with that actually finishes the general category. And so we are going to go to internal fandom issues. And so, this submission... Oh, sorry. Alice is clawing my leg. Please stop. Ow! this submission says, as individual projects started, a few fan bases are not supporting the particular members and their votings. I feel relieved if big fan bases give their time out from Twitter or give the responsibility like iTunes purchase stuff to another fan base or to at least provide funds to respected member fan base. And this is from India.
Yeah, when it comes to individual projects, I think that, I mean, generally what I've seen from the fan bases I follow, maybe because those fan bases are actually useful, I don't know. Maybe people are following some useless fan bases and I just don't know. Well, like, they were consistent with posting, you know, streaming parties and other types of stuff about, like, individual projects. So I think there are definitely a lot that are doing their job correctly. And if there are any that aren't and are just, like, not putting their time and energy into supporting the individual projects, those people need to be investigated. Because I think that, you know, if you are a chart account or something similar to that, and you're not giving each member, you know, equal time and attention whenever their projects come out, I think that that is a problem. And so this is why I think that we also need to make sure that, like, when we're supporting things or we're supporting certain fan bases, that, like, we make sure that, like, every time a member is dropping a project, we need to make sure that they're always, like, ready to support that thing. Because if they're not, then that's when you start side-eyeing.
Exactly. It can kind of be a bit complicated sometimes, because, you know, fan bases are, once again, you know, run by real people as well. And sometimes people get in a little over their heads, like, to run, like, a productive fan base. It takes a lot of personal time. And if people, you know, maybe they don't want to build a team or have, like, other people working on that fan base, so then that way any gaps are closed. If that's not present, then fan bases can definitely appear to be unproductive.
Yeah, I think it just depends on whether that fan base is run by just one person or by a group of people.
Yeah.
And with BTS chart data, he usually gets help from other people in terms of setting things up when it comes to projects that BTS members have dropped, especially recently. But yeah, I think that if it's just, like, one person running the account and, you know, sometimes life happens, maybe you were ready to, you know, set up a lot of things for a specific member's project, but then something has happened in your life and you just have to step away from Twitter, I think that is fine. And as long as they let their followers know that, I think that that's completely valid. But if it's somebody who, you know, is present on social media and it's just, like, not doing anything, even though there's just been obvious news that something is going to happen, I think that that's definitely, like, sketchy. And I think that the best option is to simply just go to fan bases that are working to support them. I wouldn't specifically say to go to, like, specific member focused accounts, because we're still weeding through those to figure out which one of those are run by solo stans and which ones aren't. But if you see any regular, like, OT7 fan base, like, doing some stuff, definitely start there.
Yeah. And so with that, I think we'll move on to the next submission. This one says, ARMY seems to really be on edge. I feel like it has been hit after hit of tough days since Festa. Maybe the lack of constant BTS content has taken a toll on some. I'm a butter ARMY, so I haven't been on ARMY Twitter for long. But even I could tell the difference between 2021 and 2022. 2021 gave us butter and permission to dance comebacks, Festa, award show and talk show appearances, concerts, In the Soup, Run BTS, and probably way more I'm forgetting. There was always something new every couple of days. 2022 hasn't had as much, although still a lot in my opinion. But maybe the shift in not as much OT7 content has made fans feel a way, causing everyone ready to lash out about anything. I've seen so many in fandom fights as well as fan wars. It's as if every day there's a new argument. I curate my timeline so I don't see everything, but the conversations do make their way to me eventually. I really hope 2023 is way more fun for us. Despite all the enlistments we sadly have to endure, we get loads of new music and projects. I'm so excited to see that, especially from the Maknae line, as they've never done full solo projects before. Here's to a better year for ARMY from the USA. And
what a great attitude to have.
And I agree with absolutely everything in this submission. There has obviously been a shift, whether some people haven't noticed it, but I actually think, based on some discourse I've seen in the timeline, people have noticed this shift.
Yeah, I think that definitely people have just become more restless. And we've, you know, seen this with the other submissions that we just talked about. Like, for example, with BTS moving away from social media, more specifically Twitter, like people kind of need that extra reassurance that, oh my gosh, do they still like each other? Oh my gosh, do they still wish each other happy birthday and all that kind of stuff? And it's like, I think that because so many things are just uncertain right now, it makes people feel like very anxious. And then a lot of times that anxiousness is then redirected and misplaced. And so then some random ARMY just minding their business on the timeline gets the full force of somebody's anger for absolutely no reason. And I think that, like, especially these days, people are just finding, like, new things to get angry about. Like, for example, there's this one post. They got jumped really hard after what they said. But, like, they were basically making, they made, like, a whole Excel spreadsheet of accounts that either had or had not posted or retweeted about, like, Yoongi's Valentino post. And, like, it was just this entire list. And they were like, oh, you know, this is how many people didn't post a retweet about it. Therefore, these people are aunties or whatever. And it's like, will you get a job? First of all, most of the people they had, you know, put into their spreadsheet were just like regular fan accounts. They weren't fan bases, so they weren't obligated to do something. And so, like, it was just basically getting at a bunch of people who maybe didn't see the news or maybe supported, you know, the post about Valentino elsewhere, like on Instagram, where they originally came from. And it was just like very jobless behavior. There's also another post I saw the other day saying, like, it was basically they took screenshots of somebody who was excited that, like, this other big ARMY account that they seemed to look up to had followed them back. And then, like, people were, like, saying, oh, congratulations, like, in their replies and stuff. And then somebody screenshotted that, and they were like, it's crazy, like, how you guys will love these fan bases more than you love BTS. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, who said that? Like, you projected that onto these people. Like, just because they were excited for, you know, their friend that they got followed by somebody that they look up to, that doesn't mean that they don't like BTS anymore. There are plenty of times where I get excited when people I like follow me back. Even recently, as big as an account that I have right now, I still get excited when people I like follow me back. And so it's like, it's just absolutely like non-issues that people are making up to get mad about. And it's like, I can clearly tell that you guys need something to do. Might I recommend, I don't know, doing something else, like rewatching Run BTS episodes or streaming BTS's music. I don't know, just do something, because some people's attitude lately has just been not great.
Yeah, no, absolutely not great. And just the people that have not only just been screenshotting random fan accounts, you know, just being excited over small things and not having any, you know, basically just getting mad at people just having fun, or getting mad at people because they'll just mention some, like, other artists and they'll be like, oh, I like this song. And then because it's not a BTS song, like, suddenly they're, like, an auntie or whatever. It's getting weird, and if you try to explain some of these things to people in real life, you would sound crazy. Like, I feel like that is always a great way to know if you need to take a step off the internet or something. If you're getting upset about something, and if you were to explain why you're upset about it to someone in real life, how would they respond? And if you think the response that they would give is not the response you're looking for, then you may be diagnosed with chronically online.
Honestly, like, I think people are just way too online for their own good. And I think that at this point in time, especially now that, you know, we're going to get to a point where eventually all of the members are enlisted at the same time, and there's just going to be like nothing going on. And so I suggest that while you're waiting, I don't know, get a hobby, do something. I just feel like there's just so much negative energy that I feel is just getting nowhere, that people need somewhere else to just like either take out their pent up frustration, or they just need to find peace within themselves. I think that, you know, this is just a perfect time to be able to de-stress and also work on yourself a little bit more. I feel like a lot of armies, especially during this time, are taking more of journeys of self-discovery. And I think that those are good places to start. Like, we just don't need all this negativity, especially since we're still getting solo projects from the members. And I just don't think it is a healthy environment to be around, where it's just like negativity all the time, leading up to a release, after release, and like months later when someone else announces a new project. It's just not good.
Yeah, we really have to break this cycle that's been going on. And I know it all started, I feel like a lot of the negativity that fractured the fandom really started with the mess around Jack in the Box, and like people just not reading things, and people kind of spreading a whole bunch of misinformation. But I feel like we genuinely never recovered from that. And so we really need to get a grip for Jimin's solo release. And when Jimin's album does come out, listen, he is someone that likes to perform on a stage. And so if he goes on Music Bank, it does not mean it's special treatment because Namjoon and Hobi didn't get music show promotions. They go where they want to go because they want to do it that way. And me and Daisy said this with Jack in the Box, that, oh, if every album isn't promoted exactly the way, in exactly the same way, then people are going to be able to spin that into like some crazy narrative. But trust me, I think the boys have more freedom to promote their albums than they've ever had before. Like, this, you should be so happy with whatever Jimin releases.
Exactly. I think that at this moment, we really just need to appreciate the fact that BTS are different people, and this is supposed to show during the time where they release their solo projects. It would make absolutely no sense for BTS to talk about individuality and all this kind of stuff if you literally cannot distinguish what makes any of their projects different from each other, promotion-wise, I mean. Obviously, they'll have different concepts and they'll have different sounds in music, but if they're all doing the exact same events, performing at the same music shows, going to the same interviews, doing all this stuff, then how exactly is that going to distinguish them from each other? How is that showing their individualism or their own unique color? If anything, that's cementing the fact that they're like the same even more, and that's not what we want. The fact that BTS is able to have the freedom to pick and choose how they want to perform their music, what concepts that they want to do, what songs they want to be performing where, like, the fact that they have the freedom to be doing all of this and none of their promotional cycles are the same as each other, I think that that adds to the excitement because you just never know where they're going to show up. And I think that that's great. And I think that the problem with some people is that they're really just not used to all this kind of stuff. And also because of the lack of OT7 content, some people are just getting restless. I feel like there's absolutely no need for that. I feel like people just need to get a grip on themselves. And hopefully we manage to stay sane until 2025. I don't know how it's going to go from here, but I just hope that we have our sanity somewhat intact by the time they all reconvene as a group. But yeah, that pretty much actually, yeah, that finishes this part of Army Anonymous. So tomorrow, in tomorrow's episode, we're going to finish the rest of these. So if you got to the end of this, we thank you for listening and we hope that you stay tuned for part 2.
All right. Bye for now.